the Friday edition, Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Strope with you from the Gerber Law Offices. One Call, That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio is here as well. Tiny Hands Hunter Vaughn back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. I'm laughing because more comments are coming in across platforms. We need to have a conversation. Before we get there, Joshy, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm all right, man. Yeah, I'm okay. Hunter, you doing all right?
I'm doing well. You went to me just behind the scenes here real quick. So I'll put myself on camera here. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see we just kind of have a long desk here that all of our equipment's on. I slid over to the farthest computer away from me as you were saying that. So I had to like push myself off the wall to get back to the mic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey,
I was very proud of myself.
Versatile, man.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you too. Wow. This is going to be a show. I'm just going to start with that. Today is going to be a show. I've given Joshy the heads up on what's coming. Because I don't know that I'm ready for it yet. But we're going to do it anyway. So, it's been almost 2 weeks since the Green Bay Packers were eliminated from the playoffs by the Philadelphia Eagles, who are playing Sunday with a spot on in the Super Bowl on the line against their rival Washington Commanders. $1,800 a seat, by the way, in Philly for that game. We've talked, obviously, a lot about what went wrong last Sunday. We've talked a lot about what went wrong this season, where the expectations should be heading into next season. And I've got literally hundreds of comments, whether that be on YouTube, on TikTok, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, hundreds and hundreds of comments the last 2 weeks about Jordan Love. And most of which have been pretty negative, right? Love isn't the guy. Love isn't good enough. Love is getting paid way too much money for how bad he is. I mean, I have read comments of that variation over and over and over again the last 2 weeks. So it is very clear to me that at least a portion of the Packers fan base has given up on Love or is close to giving up on Jordan Love, which is incredibly surprising to me, but I don't think it's out of left field. When you are paid $55 million a year, which is the second most in the NFL, and you are following a lineage of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, the expectations are going to be wicked high. They are going to be so high, maybe even unfairly high, when it comes to the expectations for what Jordan Love has to be. And it is clear to me now, reading comments, reading some of the commentary, seeing some of the tweets, that this fan base is to the point with Jordan Love that they don't know if he's the answer. Because when you do what you did a year ago, right? You go on an amazing streak at the end of the season. This is 2023 I'm talking. You go on an amazing run at the end of the year. You win a playoff game on the road. You are in the game entering the fourth quarter, winning the game in the fourth quarter or entering the fourth quarter against the eventual NFC champion 49ers last year. Naturally, this fan base is going to go, oh my gosh, the window's open again. They can win the Super Bowl next year. And of course, not winning a playoff game, losing to the Bears, getting swept by the Lions and Vikings, is falling short of expectations, despite being an 11-win team and your win-loss record improving by two games. You took third place in the NFC North. And frankly, Love wasn't good enough, right? 63% completion percentage, 34, just a touch under 3,400 yards, 25 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and he battled through some injuries. There was plenty of inconsistencies. The first half of the season, he couldn't stop throwing the football to the other team. So I get the concern. But to give up on Jordan Love, just 2 years into his tenure as the starting quarterback of the Packers, seems a little premature to me. So that said, Today on Mr. Relevant, we are going to have the Jordan Love conversation. We will make a case for him. We will make a case against him. And we will give our true, honest opinions on this. I want to hear from you. ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. You can get me on Twitter at @Alex_Strofe. You can get me on Instagram and TikTok, Strofe ESPN. However you want to chime in, I want to hear from you on this. Because this is very, very, very clearly at the top of a lot of Packers fans' minds. Right? Matt LaFleur has gotten criticism, rightfully so. Brian Gutekunst has gotten criticism for the way he's constructed this roster, rightfully so. But I don't know that anybody's caught more flack and more criticism over the course of the last couple of weeks than the quarterback Jordan Love. Fair or unfair? He's gotten the most. And as we do in this profession, right, in sports media, when you have a devastating loss, not devastating in terms of how it happened, but your season's over, right? The finality of the season. We're unpacking what they should do in the offseason to get back to where they were and further than they were. We're unpacking what happened and what went wrong in that game and the other games. But now it is time to turn the page and have the at-large conversation, because clearly this is on a lot of people's minds about Jordan Love. So let's have the conversation. I will lead with this. I believe in Jordan Love. I think he can be a really, really good quarterback in this league. But it is completely evident to me other people think not. Other people think he can't be. So if you want to have the conversation, let's have the conversation. We'll do it today. Josh, you want to bring you in. So I imagine, you know, producing our morning show 7 to 9, Jed, Gabe, and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee, and doing everything else you do with us here at ESPN Wisconsin, including this show and everything else we do together. You've seen this commentary, right? You've seen the text messages. You've heard the phone calls. You've read the comments. It is not a small percentage of the fan base that is feeling some type of way about Jordan Love, right? This isn't like I'm addressing the 0.1%ers, I don't think. I would think this number is bigger than that.
Yeah, I mean, there's been polls done here where it's showed about 15% of people at least feel this way. And with people who are dissenters or people who hold the opinion, they like to make their voice heard. They are the loud and boisterous minority of the fan base, but certainly a portion of it. I think it's multi-layered insofar as people see a quarterback contract and they go, all right, you're now have to be the best in the league. It's not how contracts work. It's not how the NFL works, not how the salary cap works, and not how just the QB position as a whole works. The next guy up who is of the age range to be paid the top dollar will get paid the top dollar.
Correct.
The only people we saw come under that $55 million number were guys who were more advanced in their career and had previous mighty struggles at playing the quarterback position. So there was reason to have that number be lower. I also think there's a lot of people who are taking the opportunity to try and confirm their priors. They didn't like the draft pick. They wanted Aaron Rodgers to stick around. When they saw Jordan Love, they dismissed him out of hand. Mm-hmm. No longer the guy, no matter what he's going to do. It's hard not to be prisoner of the moment after watching what many people think was a step back for Jordan Love. It probably was at least a linear step. If you truly break it down, there was not a high that we saw in those last eight games. But there's about two quarterbacks in 2024 who played in this season who played that well. So the other portion is, if Jordan Love isn't the guy and you seem to be happily attacking that, well, guess what? He's the guy for a few more years. So either hate the team and hate the guy playing quarterback, or leave yourself a chance for optimism. I think to write off somebody we've seen play as well as he did at this point is kind of foolish. I know it's the fifth year thing. He's a second year starter. That stuff goes on and on and on. It goes in circles and circles. Players don't have their best season every single year. Aaron Rodgers didn't always have his best year every single year. Patrick Mahomes doesn't always have his best year every single year. There are ebbs and flows, and there are circumstances that may affect the quarterback's play. I think Jordan Love wasn't good enough this year. He turned the ball over. He was a little too indecisive. Probably didn't use his legs when healthy enough. There are plenty of places to point out blame, but if you're going to make a case, it's a case for optimism. He's our quarterback.
Correct.
I got nowhere else to go. Right. You might want to try and tell me Malik Willis.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah.
I mean, I've seen that guy complete like 15 passes ever. When he goes out there, their goal is to not throw the ball. And that's not because Matt LaFleur doesn't know what he's doing. It's because that's his abilities. So could Jordan Love end up a massive failure? Could be. Could happen. We've seen it happen before. Guys get paid. They don't deserve it. And you end up moving on from them and kind of have to rebuild after there. But what we've seen from Jordan and the way he's talked about by his coaches, his general managers, and his teammates, it seems they all have the belief. And I'm going to err on the side of the guys who spend every single day with him.
I'm with you. And, you know, when you bring up the word optimism, that's what I feel towards Jordan Love. Right? Like, I think this is a guy who can elevate and become a top five quarterback in the NFL. I do believe that, right? And I understand this, that is a jam-packed field, right? You look at the MVP finalists, you don't see Patrick Mahomes' name. But we all know, darn right, that is the best quarterback in football. Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts. These are really good quarterbacks. There's some really good quarterbacks in the league. But I do believe that Jordan Love can become one of the best in the league. Just from what we've seen, right? The proof is in the pudding. The guy has been, obviously, was phenomenal down the stretch in 2023. And he had some moments in 2024. Despite statistically a backslide, right? He threw less touchdowns, threw less yards, played less games due to the injuries, and threw the same amount of interceptions. There was many things he did this year where you go, oh, that's an improvement, right? I think decision-making, he was making faster decisions. How about the way he avoided taking sacks? And I get the offensive line was pretty good during the regular season. They were not in the wild card game, but they were pretty darn good in the regular season. Took 16 less sacks this year. And it's actually almost mathematically impossible the way that guy avoided getting hit this year, which is a huge improvement and a step up from a year ago. I think there, you know, I like I mentioned, the decisiveness is up. Something I've always really liked about Love that we saw in both years. Cool, calm, collected, right? Like never gets out of funk. You know, he makes a mistake. It seems like he has a short memory. He's right back out there slinging that thing with no hesitation. So there is a lot of good about Jordan Love. And I think those are things that some Packers fans are choosing to ignore because Malik Willis, in games he started, went 2-0. In games he played a severe amount, went 3-1. And we're spoiled in Green Bay. We are. As Packers fans, we're spoiled. We just want to win. And Jordan Love did not win enough this year. He lost to the Vikings twice. He lost to the Lions twice. And in those four games, did not play very well. Right? Think about that first Vikings game when he was coming back off the MCL injury. Threw three interceptions in that game. Like, that's not winning football. It's not going to win you football games, unless you're Tom Brady in the 2020 NFC Championship game. I don't know why I threw that in there. That's on me. I don't. That was
a weird distraction.
No, that was on me.
I think also the quarterback gets the glory. They get all the blame. There's two sides of that same coin. I think it's impossible, and if you're being honest and intellectually honest and not coming at it from a place of ill intent, you would look at the offense leading the league in drops for most of the year. You would look at the amount the Packers had to run the ball. You would look at injuries. And you would look at probably what we could say was a subpar year of coaching from Matt LaFleur. All those things factor into what we saw from Jordan Love. We also spend a lot of time not focusing on the injury that plagued the guy probably until the last quarter of the year in some form or fashion. We leave out that happened. I heard how many times did I have to hear about Aaron Rodgers' damn thumb his last year with the Packers? Yeah. And nobody's talking about the guy nearly blowing his knee out and then injuring his groin, which is probably in relation to that knee injury in the first place. So, like,
correct.
You're willing to give somebody the excuse there, but not the other people. It doesn't seem consistent. Like, I think Matt LaFleur, if he were honest, he would say the inability to run drop back under center play action affected our team greatly. The inability of our players to catch the ball, also a big issue. The inability of our guys to sometimes run the right routes at the right depth. Like, all that stuff factors into your quarterback dropping back and going, well, that guy's not where he's supposed to be. Now what do I do? I think there's more factors in. Jordan Love might not be the guy, and this might be his last contract with the Green Bay Packers. That's certainly possible. I'm not as convicted as I was after the 8-game stretch, but he's a starting level quarterback at the very least. We've seen that.
Yep.
Is he going to be good enough to win a Super Bowl? I think great quarterbacks or elite quarterbacks, the answer is obviously yes. And good, you need some things to go your way, and you need talented roster, but that is also a way to win. It's less likely as we watch, you know, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Patrick Mahomes likely compete for a Super Bowl. There's a reason those guys are all there, because those guys typically make the playoffs. They win a lot of games, and they put themselves into win the biggest one of them all.
Yep.
So I think there's factors here. Like, which one, other than the Commanders roster, you would look and say definitively all three of those other teams are better top to bottom, excluding quarterback.
I just got to run through it in my head. Yeah. Yeah, I would.
The Eagles, definitely. They're probably better at eight on each side of the ball. There's probably a few guys you could pick or choose there, but you're going to take mostly everyone the Eagles has over who the Packers have. And
just about. I mean, we did it prior to the game, right? I mean, they were better just about in every area than the Packers. I made the case I would take Love over Hurts. I mean, when it came to that specific game, you would have rather had Hurts.
Yes.
It was certainly not Love's greatest showing. But all in all, I hear what you're saying, right? Like, this dude is good enough to be a competent starter in the NFL, right? I'm not talking he is, I'm trying to think of quarterback like 29 right now, right? Like Marcus Mariota, Aiden O'Connell level.
Right.
This is a top 20, top 15 quarterback, even on his bad days. On his good days, but we saw it in his first year as a starter. He was a top three quarterback in the NFL over that or down that stretch. And that's, that's some of the commentary, too. And we had this conversation earlier in the week, Joshy, about Jaden Daniels, right? Like, the guy is on a tear right now. And what he does so well that Love doesn't is obviously his mobility is a huge factor. But he can sling, as you like to say, sling the pill.
Mm-hmm.
He's decisive, and he's played a lot of football. Jaden Daniels is a really experienced quarterback, which is what played into the Commanders' hand this year and has allowed them to make the run they have. But now the commentary around Jaden Daniels will be similar to what it was last year with C.J. Stroud, right? You come in, you win Rookie of the Year, you light it up, you get a starving franchise, a playoff victory, and the expectations all of a sudden go from, hey, you are you're a young quarterback who can make some mistakes and have some grace, to, oh boy, you're a superstar in this league. And that happened to Love, and it happened to Stroud, and now it's going to happen to Daniels. And if Daniels has a sophomore slump, all of a sudden, he's going to get the Jalen Hurts treatment. He's going to be the forgotten about quarterback in the NFC. Love isn't quite to that level, but some of his shortcomings this year, I mean, this offseason, when we think about the national commentary around the Packers, I don't think Dan Orlovsky, or maybe he is because he's trying to go for that quarterback coach's job, but, Mina Kimes or whoever, I don't think they're going to be ranking NFC quarterbacks and putting Jordan Love number one anymore. Some people were doing that last offseason, but now you look at Jalen Hurts, and the NFC isn't stacked by in terms of quarterback play by any means, but you look at Jalen Hurts, you look at Jared Goff, you look at, obviously, now Jaden Daniels. Those are guys this offseason that are going to be talked at as definitively better quarterbacks than Jordan Love. I think the definitively part is the issue because it's a high variance league. Success isn't linear, as our buddy Jason Wilde always says. But some of the knocks on Love are going to come out this offseason. He was inefficient with the football. He took a backslide in terms of his completion percentage, and he made more mistakes this year despite having the same number of interceptions than he did a year ago. So, is he still a good quarterback? Absolutely. Can he still ascend to be a top five quarterback in the NFL? Absolutely. But right now, as it stands, do you have a lane to have some concerns about his play? Absolutely. But pump the brakes on talking about this guy not being the answer. I mean, I'm serious when I say the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments I've read over the course of the last 2 weeks on you know, different content that we've posted on ESPN Wisconsin, is there was a lot of people saying you're not getting anywhere near the Super Bowl with Love as the quarterback. And to that I say, I just disagree. Yeah. You need some better pieces around him, and that's on Goody, right? Goody needs to go out and admit his mistakes and make some moves this offseason. That might be at wide receiver. That might be at offensive line. You've obviously upgraded at running back and feel really good about your tandem back there. And you feel good about this group of receivers, but you don't have a true security blanket number one pass catcher. But that's on Goody. I don't know that that's all on Love, because every Super Bowl champion has a true number one pass catcher. Look at the teams left. The Chiefs have Kelce. They've won several Super Bowls with him making a big-time play or big-time game in those big games. When you look at the Bills, they might be the one exception. Like, Khalil Shakir isn't really a number one receiver, but I think that's why the Chiefs are favored. So I think that's an interesting part where the Bills are trying to make an exception to that rule. The other two, Terry McLaurin with the Commanders and A.J. Brown with the Eagles. Typically, Super Bowl champions have a number one option. And sometimes it's a tight end. Maybe Tucker Kraft evolves into that. But when you look at Gronk, and obviously in Kansas City, you look at Kelce. So it will be interesting to see what moves Goody makes this offseason. But yeah, Love needs to elevate his game. There's plenty of blame to go around for why this year was a disappointment and it had its shortcomings. So the long and short of this is, Josh and I on the same page. Jordan Love, good quarterback in the NFL, going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. He needs some more time, though. Right? Like, he's still a young player in this league. And maybe that's next year where he finally pieces it all together. We see consistent quarterback play, and Jordan Love is making a run at the MVP. Because that's very much within the cards. This is still a very good football team. And despite the disappointment this year, this is still a team that is closer to the Super Bowl than the number one overall pick in the draft. End of that. I want to get Hunter's thoughts on this. I haven't heard from him yet. Tiny Hands back in the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Hunter, I know you've seen the comments because you're all up in the analytics, brother. You're telling me how many people are unsubscribing on YouTube because of me. What do you make of the comments that I'm referring to and some of the thoughts in conversation around Jordan Love and his current state as the Packers quarterback?
You know, I've seen a lot of the comments around that, and it hasn't just been your show. I mean, it's been Wilde and Tausch. It's been everywhere. Ever since Malik Willis had those two good games early in the season, I feel like this has been the conversation all year, and everybody's just kind of ignored it. I mean, we literally had on ESPN Milwaukee's chat, dumb title, not watching or entertaining this nonsense, from Jamal before you even got into the conversation. Like, that it's so interesting to me, the level to which this happens. But I think this is just the product of having a solid team that the Packers do outside of the quarterback position, even, and then you're not coming through in the playoffs. You know, we talk all the time on this show, or I bring them up all the time, the Dallas Cowboys. It's the same thing with Dak. He got hurt for a couple of games a few years ago. Cooper Rush won some games. Everybody in the Cowboys fan base was talking about Cooper Rush should be the guy. This happens all the time in the league, and it's just mind-blowing to me that fan bases don't get that. Like, these coaches see these guys every day. If they didn't think Jordan Love gave the Packers the best chance to win a game, Jordan Love would not be the starter, like, because your career is on the line if you're a coach. But instead, we're sitting here having fans think that they know better than people that literally get paid millions upon millions of dollars to do this.
Well, I don't want to disvalue opinions, right? You have the right to your opinion, whether it's right or wrong. You have the right to it. I understand why Packers fans, you know, sometimes the fuse is short. Because we are now entering 2025 season, which means there is a longer gap between Super Bowl 45 and now than there was between Super Bowl 32 and 45, right? We are now, it was kind of a 14-year thing that was going on there. And now it is a 14, or it will be 15 years since the Packers won the Super Bowl in the 2010 season. So I understand why some are disappointed and irritated that Aaron Rodgers never got back. And Matt LaFleur hasn't won the big game yet. But I think it's unfair to just jump to the conclusion of Jordan Love is not that guy, right? Because we've seen plenty of moments in his young career where he's proven he's good enough. He's got it, right? He's got some swagger to his game that is good enough to get this team to the playoffs in his first year as a starter, a two-game improvement, despite some of the injuries he battled through this year in terms of the win-loss, and back into the postseason. Like, I know Bears fans are going to run with this stat for a while. Caleb Williams is undefeated at Lambeau Field. Great. Jordan Love has made the playoffs both years he's been the starter. Caleb Williams 0-for-1 in that category. You know, so, yes, you can pick and choose which stats you want to throw out there. But the truth of the matter is Jordan Love has been good enough to make this a playoff team. I want to get to some of the comments, but before we do, I would like to hear from you on this. And this does not have to be a Jordan Love-related thing. Your biggest concern about the Packers roster right now, what is it? Because some people will say Jordan Love. But I'm curious, overall, Packers concerns entering 2025, what is your biggest? Hit us on the YouTube chats, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee. Want to get to some of those comments, but first, let's just go back to the Jordan Love conversation, Hunter. Any of the comments that have popped out to you, let's get through some of those.
Yeah, one of them that just came up on here on the Milwaukee chat was, more time, he'll be 27 this season. And I'm kind of in that camp when it comes to the way we talk about Jordan Love. Like, dude's been in the NFL for a while. What is it, 5 years now?
Yeah, this will be year six for him.
Yeah.
2020, kind of that redshirt year where he really wasn't an active part of the roster, but he was in the league, obviously, so this will be year six. What I mean when I say we need more time, I don't mean that in terms of we need to wait for Jordan to develop into an NFL starter. Like, that's not what I mean. I mean, we need to give him more time before we jump to the conclusion he isn't good enough. Because I think it's wild to jump to that conclusion after year two. Year one was very good, the second half especially of year one. He won a playoff game. And then year two, seemed like there was some improvement. Statistically, there wasn't. But I think he needs more time before anybody gets to the end conclusion that Jordan Love is not the answer. That's what I mean by
here's
that.
Here's an analogy.
Sure.
If you listened to ESPN Wisconsin radio every single day it was on air, start to finish, but you never once hosted a radio show, would you be good at it right away?
Probably not great.
Would it take you a few years? Would you have to learn, get better, improve?
All right. I don't know how well the analogy fits.
It fits perfectly.
Well, he started football games prior to being in the NFL.
Right, but is the NFL the same?
As Utah State, no.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Like, do people get better in the NFL by sitting on the bench, or do they get better by playing? Like, everyone will tell you there's welcome to the NFL moments. There's growing as you get better at it. Like, we are going to be, this program's going to be better in 6 months than it is right now.
We hope.
Because the more you do it, the better you get.
We hope.
Fingers crossed.
We've been saying that for a year and a half, Joshy.
But Josh, I think it's much better than when I first joined around here.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks. So that was a pat on the back to yourself?
Yes,
is that what just happened there? Okay,
nailed it.
Got it.
But Josh, for your analogy of listening to the station every day and then just jumping in, it wasn't that he was just there seeing them play football. He was there in the building learning an NFL playbook, taking reps with other NFL players. Like, it would be as if you were being trained for the job, being told eventually this is going to be your job, and you have to get yourself ready for the job.
Yeah, I don't know how good the analogy is.
It's literally perfect. If you don't do it and experience it in real time, it doesn't matter. All the practice is great, and it can help you build there, but you're not going to be as good of it as it if you don't do it.
Okay, Joshy is probably, I don't know, maybe fourth or fifth best at ESPN Wisconsin when it comes to analogies, right? 1A is Tausch, 1B is Brad Nortman. Joshy's probably somewhere in the fourth or fifth best. Certainly not his best work there.
If you practice something over and over again, it's never going to matter,
Josh,
unless you do it.
You can say the analogy six times.
Right.
I'm just telling you, it's
you guys
not
are
your
dense.
Best. You're dense.
You're denser.
Nice. Wait, so, what else we got in the comments?
Well, I mean, other than the fact that Josh just resorted to name calling because he was losing the argument. This one from Joe. Jaden Daniels seems to be a better decision maker than Jordan, but we'll see how he adjusts next year. I see Jordan getting a little bit panicky at times or trying to be a hero.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the second half of that I agree with, right? Like, I do think there's been, you know, a guy who I think does this. Here's an analogy, Joshy. If we're going to compare sports for a moment, when we use the term hero ball, I think of Max Klezmet of the Wisconsin Badgers. That's a guy who, if the ball hits his hands, the shot's probably going up.
I think Brad Davison's a better one for that.
Brad Davison did play a little hero ball down the stretch there. Yeah. Well, then Johnny Davis came along and he stopped, but he was doing that for a couple of years. But this year, I think it's Max Klezmet of the Badgers. And this is not a knock on Klezmet, who's a pretty good college basketball player. But it seems this year, something's going on where he feels the need, the shot needs to go up a lot of times when the ball hits his hands. Jordan Love feels like sometimes the moment comes down to him. And as a quarterback in the National Football League, naturally that is going to happen sometimes. But was it Joe who said that? Joe's point. I think sometimes it's worthwhile, and sometimes, yeah, he's taking risks that are unnecessary. We saw that especially in the first half of the season.
I think to make any sweeping generalization that involves Jane Daniels right now,
that's going to
look tough.
Yeah, like it's hard.
He might have three interceptions this weekend, and we might all be like, Oh, wow.
Pressure was too high. He cracked under pressure. Right. Biggest moment, right? Didn't come through.
So, also, the way they run their offense, I think, is very important. Like, Jane Daniels was completing amongst the most one read and throw the ball, which is a credit to maybe the athletes and Cliff Kingsbury for drawing that up. But those two, in terms of what level of math they're doing, another analogy, Jane Daniels is at like 105, and they're asking Jordan Love to be in the 300s, and he wasn't good enough, that's for sure, but that offense is pretty simple.
Yeah.
Effective, but simple.
Effective. They score a lot of freaking points, man. Yeah, I'm really intrigued what that game looks like. We'll preview some of the championship weekend here coming up in just a moment. But, yeah, I mean, I hear Joe's point, and don't get me wrong, this is not a knock on you or Jaden Daniels, because to your point, he's been awesome. He's been really good for the Commanders, rightfully winning, going to win Rookie of the Year, and has his team in a position to punch their ticket to the Super Bowl. Could become the first rookie quarterback to start a Super Bowl with a win over Philadelphia on Sunday. And to be honest, if you're not a Chiefs or Eagles fan, you're rooting for the Commanders to be in the Super Bowl, I think. Because I think Bills Commanders is kind of America's Super Bowl as it stands with these four teams remaining right now. So I hear you, Joe, but to Josh's point, I think it is a little early to be making, it's hard to compare, right? And that's what makes it hard with Love, too. He's through 2 years now, so it's a little, you have more of a sample size. With Daniels, I need to see him next year. And I think he's going to be a superstar in this league.
I think he's a plus odds to statistically decline.
Sophomore slumps are normal.
And just simply like, things change. You get more put on your plate. Like, your life changes. There's a lot of factors that go into
the personnel around you is going to change, right? It's the NFL. Teams move a lot from year to year. So we will see. But I do think he's going to be a superstar in this league. But yeah, could he take a backtrack from this year? Yes. CJ Stroud did it. Does that mean CJ Stroud's a bad quarterback and not the answer for the Texans? No. Oh. Hunter, anything else in the comments section?
We started to get a few responses on biggest concern. None of them like player or position group specific, though. Very much centered around Goody and LaFleur being the biggest concerns.
Yeah. You know what? I think that is a much fairer takeaway. Fairer?
Power rank those three in terms of concerned about.
LaFleur, Love, Goody.
You're least concerned about Goody.
I don't know. This is tough, and I'm doing it off the top of my head. No,
what
probably
do you mean,
not.
Top of your head, there's three options.
I'm still doing it off the top of my head. I haven't thought about this question. Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think I stand by that. LaFleur, Love, Goody. I'm the most concerned about LaFleur.
I would go, I mean, it probably says a lot. I would go Love.
Goody, LaFleur?
Yes. And I'm not very concerned about Jordan Love. I'm just so confident in those other two with their long track record.
Yeah,
of,
so I agree.
Of relative success.
And look, I'm not very worried about any of them. I think we should get that out of the way.
I'm like a four at concerned about Jordan Love, maybe even lower.
Yeah, I'm probably like a three or four as well. LaFleur, I'm probably at like a four, maybe a five.
I'm closer to like a two.
And Goody, I'm at like a two. Maybe a one. I'm really not concerned about Goody. I think he's done a really nice job, other than his first round picks, which is obviously like a big thing to miss. But You've got to give him grace on what he did in free agency last year. Hope he can repeat that this year. And, I mean, he's hit on some of his first-round picks, but not many of them, right? Like, Quay Walker is still a question mark. Devonta Wyatt is still a question mark. You know he missed on a couple. Eric Stokes being probably the main one. Jair did battled injuries, but that was a hit. Jordan Love is a hit. Too early for a guy, Jordan Jacob Morgan. LVN, I don't know. That's not looking too good for 2 years.
That one I got at a 9.8 concern.
Darnell Savage was a miss. Rashawn Gary, mostly a miss, given the contract.
I think, well, now given the contract, yes. But in terms of draft pick, like that's pretty good in the NFL for what you got out of him.
I love this from Joe Quick before we get to championship weekend. Joe says, if Goody doesn't back up his comments about having urgency in competing for championships, then he will be my number one concern. I'm with you. I like that. I really like that from Joe.
I'll be gravely disappointed.
I will too.
And I don't mean go out and sign T. Higgins to a 5-year, $180 million contract. I mean get better, add veterans, and show us that there is some building going on here.
Yeah, I'm with you. Free agency's big, man. Like here's the part I struggle with. I don't know if he's going to take a huge swing.
Over or under $75 million spent. Obviously not $75 million this year, but in total.
Probably under.
I think I like over.
In free agency alone?
Uh-huh. I think there's going to be one big contract that comes out.
You've talked yourself into T. Higgins.
No, I don't think it's T. Higgins. I think T. Higgins is going to be 33 plus a year. Which is a 3-year contract would be the minimum you need for him.
Correct.
Like that. I think there's going to be a $13 million free agency contract that probably gets upwards of 30, and then there's going to be somebody who sails over 50.
But who? I mean, we don't have to dive into names right now, but
there's corners, there's edge rushers.
My guy DJ Reed.
There's also wide receivers that probably will get surprising amounts of money.
Yeah, that's the one I'm not completely sold on that he'll address in free agency.
I'm not
like
sold
him to.
Either.
I would like him to. I'm just not sold on it. I am sold on corner. I think he'll address that through free agency. Defensive line, maybe, in free agency.
Very possible.
Maybe O-line.
Center, it's either Josh Myers or could get one.
Right, and Josh Myers would count toward this, obviously, being an unrestricted free agent. So we will see. On that. All right, keep those comments rolling in. I will revisit them before we wrap up here in about 20 minutes. But really interesting reading all your thoughts. Appreciate the participation on YouTube, at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison. Look, I mean, we do this show this way because I do like hearing your thoughts. And, you know, I was just surprised by the amount of comments that I've seen the last few weeks, whether that be on this show or you know, social media, of the people that are not believers in Jordan Love. I'm not sitting here and telling you he played like an MVP this season, right? Like, I was disappointed too, but I have not given up any hope on how good he can be. So that is that. All right, let's get the championship weekend. 4 teams left in the NFL. It is go time. Win and you're in the Super Bowl. Lose and you go home this weekend in the NFL. The opening game on Sunday is the NFC Championship game. 2 p.m. kickoff locally, 3 o'clock Eastern. It is the Washington Commanders at the Philadelphia Eagles. The spread is big, 6 points in favor of the home team, the Philadelphia Eagles. The over-under is 47.5. What Jaden Daniels has been able to do is remarkable. The guy has had a terrific rookie season. Rightfully so, going to win the Rookie of the Year award on the offensive side of the football. He's been a really fun story. Dan Quinn, first year in Washington, has completely turned this team around. This was a team that had the number 2 pick in the NFL draft back in April. They are now 1 win away from the Super Bowl. What a turnaround by Dan Quinn and company. Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator, has completely revitalized his career. The former Arizona Cardinals head coach is right back in head coaching conversations. We're down to only 2 spots available, but he is still in those conversations with the Saints and the Cowboys. Interesting team, really fun team, really good offense. despite the fact that they have some dusty players on that offense. They are making it work. Zach Ertz, Austin Eckler, Terry McLaurin. Like, these are vets, man. And they are making it work here, facing against their divisional rival, the Philadelphia Eagles. A Super Bowl representative is guaranteed from the NFC East. The Eagles bounce back year from a really tumultuous end of year last year, right? Losing in the wild card round despite starting the season 10-1. Jalen Hurts has his swagger back, and nobody's got more swagger in the NFL this year than Saquon Barkley. Goes over 2,000 yards in the regular season, has completely reinvented what that offense looks like, and has plays such a huge role for Philadelphia offensively. Defensively, they're solid. But they're playing a really good offense. I think 6 points is too much in favor of Philly, though I do think they win on Sunday over the Commanders, the 14-3 Eagles, the 12-5 Commanders. I got the Eagles by a field goal. I think it's a good game, though. I'm excited for this one. Joshy?
I think this is going to be Eagles victory. I think they cover the spread. I think it's important that their best offensive lineman for the Commanders is no longer with the team, basically, because of his injury. I think we're going to be hearing Zach Bond's name a lot. I think we're going to be hearing Jalen Carter's name a lot, and same goes for Nolan Smith. Quinyon Mitchell is participating, which I think is a factor in his practices, which is not a death knell to that. That defense is strong on the backside and on the front side. I think it's just going to, the moment's going to get big for Jane Daniels. He's going to force the issue because it is the biggest game he's ever played in his life to this point.
Hold on, real quick. National championship game. Wait, he didn't play in a national championship game. He won the Heisman. I'm screwing him up with Burrow.
Yeah.
This is the biggest game he's played in his life. You're right.
Yeah. And I mean,
don't disrespect the Vegas Bowl against the Badgers.
Jalen Hurts played in a national championship game. But he obviously also played in the Super Bowl. Yeah, that is what I was referring to, Hunter. And then I realized they played the Badgers, not Alabama. Right? I was like, wait a minute.
I mean, red and white, right? Bowl game at Allegiant, like, close enough.
And also, by the way, Jaden Daniels didn't play in that game at all.
Yeah, he did. Wow, he threw
to screw up by me.
Brandon Ayuk. They had like a 30-yard completion to Ayuk. Otherwise, he got shut down
right
by the defense.
After that?
Oh, ASU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were referring to, because didn't the Badgers just play LSU last year in the bowl game?
In the ReliaQuest Bowl, and he opted out. Yes, they had a chance to play him twice.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, wow. I guess I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and I believe after that bowl game, when he transferred, they were like, his teammates at ASU were like trashing his locker and like taking his stuff that was still in his locker.
Really?
Yeah, it was very bizarre.
No wonder he's so good. Well, all the motivation in the world.
Yeah, that was also like the tail end of the Herm Edwards stuff. ASU was a mess. Guys,
do you think Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury bond over their hatred for the state of Arizona? Because Cardinals fan base was not very nice to Cliff.
Well, Cliff did it.
Yeah.
Cliff was at least somewhat to blame.
Wasn't very good.
I mean, I'm just curious if they bond over it.
They probably don't talk much about Arizona for reasons that both of them would prefer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, to them, there's only 49
states.
Even though
Jaden Daniels at this point, number two overall pick in an NFC Championship game, his life's pretty good.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. All right, Hunter, go ahead. Sorry.
I don't know what to do with this game. Like, you guys haven't ever had to deal with this for, like, the NFC North.
No, we have never had a Vikings-Bears NFC Championship game. That's true.
Yeah, so I'm just like, I honestly don't want to watch this game. And I hate that because I'm like, it's the NFC Championship game. I should be watching. But, like, this is just disgusting. If it was the Giants in it and replace one of them, I would at least, like, it'd be kind of like the Lions for Jesse Nelson, who was cheering for them when they were in the playoffs. Like, I could at least
just like the word sexy is banned from the show, the words Jesse Nelson also banned from the show.
Okay, I'm sorry. Michelle Smallman, then, was saying that as well.
Yeah, much better.
And cheering much for better. The Lions. Like, the Giants I could handle, but I despise both of these teams. I wish that they could just give the AFC teams a bye and say, nope, that's the Super Bowl instead. Oh, this is stupid. I hate this game.
I do have to give a slight amendment. I do know what it's like to have two NFC North teams in the NFC Championship game. My team just usually wins that game.
Hey, Al.
Hell yeah, brother.
2010, baby. 2010, BJ Raji. Hey, mm-hmm. Joshy, give me a little Raji. Come on. There we go.
A little dancing.
There we go. Good. Good. Very good. Yeah. Hell yeah, brother. You got the Eagles, Hunter?
Probably. I don't know, man. Like, I don't want to pick it. Like, I literally have done zero research on the game. I have thought about this game as little as I possibly can because I'm just so annoyed.
Well, okay, then we'll get to the game that everybody's thought about because this is like Rock Cena WrestleMania all over again. This is the second time I made that analogy today. This one is just so fun. It's Bills Chiefs. It's the AFC Championship game. Josh Allen looking to finally get over the mountain known as Mountain Mahomes. And the Chiefs looking to become the first team in NFL history to
win.
We're
talking mountains. It's probably Andy Reid. That's a mountain.
Did you really need to correct that? Like, that wasn't necessary.
I mean, come on.
Okay. Excuse me. Rather than the debatably one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history and one of the all-time incredible runs in NFL history by a quarterback, if not the most incredible run by a quarterback in NFL history. Sorry. Let me give it to the head coach. Let me give it to Mountain Cheeseburger Andy.
It's got great mac and cheese recipe. You should try it out.
Does he?
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
He got ran into by a football writer, Charles McDonald, who I believe is with Yahoo right now, does a podcast with Nate Tice. He ran into him and asked him about his mac and cheese recipe near Thanksgiving, and he has, I believe, 8 different cheeses in his mac and cheese, and
wow.
He broke down the whole recipe for him.
Did I tell you about the time I spent $65 on making mac and cheese? No meat in it either. Just cheese and noodles.
Right?
Yeah, that was back in like... I don't know, maybe in August. Like it was within like the last 6 months.
Did you buy like expensive from the cheese market cheeses?
Oh yeah, I grated all of it.
Yeah,
hand grated all the cheese, noodles. I made the cheese sauce from scratch, and then I baked it. I did breadcrumbs. No meat though. I didn't put any bacon in it. No hot dogs or anything like that. I spent $65 between cheese and ingredients for this mac and cheese.
Yeah, you got.
And to be honest with you. It was fine. It tasted like mac and cheese.
Yeah, well, when you start mixing that many cheeses together, they generally... The end product is usually pretty similar when it comes to...
I mean, it was good. I mean, I'm not complaining, but...
Back to Bill's Chiefs. What's the strategy? We spent minutes on mac and cheese.
Bro, I could go an hour on mac and cheese. If we should do a food show one of these days in the offseason. All right. Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites at home. 15-2 Bills, 15-2 Chiefs, 13-4 Bills in the regular season. God, this one's fun. I'm rooting so hard for the Bills. And I know Joshy's gonna come in and say he's a fan of history, he's picking the Chiefs, he wants to see him win 3 in a row. I don't. I want nothing to do with it. I want a fresh Super Bowl, so I would prefer Bills Commanders more than anything, but Bills Eagles I can live with. That's a really fun matchup. But I can't pick against Patrick Mahomes.
Bills Commanders might set a low for Super Bowl record.
In terms of what?
Watching.
Oh, no. Everybody still watches.
Hey, I think a lot more people would be disinterested.
It's not like this is the college basketball national championship.
I think you'd be surprised at how much a Chiefs team would move the ratings.
Now, I will agree with that in terms of Swifties.
Yes.
How many millions do you think they account for?
Several.
Yeah.
Several million. I don't know.
I'd say probably 5.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty good guess. I think there's a lot of young girls that are more interested. Yes. I think there are a lot of spouses. Of like people like me, you, or the three of us, right? Like we're all either dating or married to Swifties. So when Taylor's on the TV, my girlfriend goes, "Oh, Taylor," and then goes back to reading her book, right? Like so, you know,
rolling TikTok,
right? I think probably millions to answer your question. I'm rooting for the Bills. I can't pick against Patrick Mahomes. I got the Chiefs. Chiefs Eagles rematch.
Yeah, I've said it on the Weekly Wager. I've said it basically everywhere. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are inevitable. I said it last year when they went into the playoffs as a wild card. Until the Chiefs give me a reason to stop betting on them, I'm going to keep picking the Chiefs. They were pretty much underdogs every single game last year, and then they just won them all. This year, they're a little better because of the record, but a 2-point spread, I think, to a guy who basically rolls out of bed and ends up in the Super Bowl. I find it hard to believe he's going to lose this game. It's possible, but this defense is incredible for the Chiefs, and they have just enough left in Travis Kelce and with those young wide receivers. mainly Xavier Worthy, that I think they get it done. I think Josh Allen's mistakes might creep back in. They haven't pretty much all season. He's been very, very good at protecting the ball, but we just watched him last week try and pitch it out of a QB sneak that didn't work. And old Josh Allen does that. Now, that game, I felt like the Bills pretty much had control of all game against the Ravens, so the pressure wasn't as high. But Josh Allen, until he proves to me he can make a Super Bowl, I'm going to have him falling short.
Yeah. They're inevitable.
I'd probably pick them. Like, if this game would have happened, they would have beat. If it was Ravens and Bills, I think Josh Allen cruises again. Like, I think every team but the Chiefs, I would want the Bills in.
And I agree.
And any team from the NFC against the Bills, I would want the Bills in.
Here's what makes the Chiefs so great, and we've talked about this before. If they're in a one-possession game, they have more points.
They do not make mistakes either.
No, they don't. It's really, really, really impressive. This has not been an up year for Mahomes either, right? Like, no. He has similar stats to Jordan Love. 26 touchdowns, 11 interceptions in the regular season, and one more touchdown. Same number of interceptions.
I also watched him make a Superman throw to Travis Kelce.
Yeah, he does that.
It's still in there.
Yeah, well, Kelce, 7 catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown last week. So, yeah, he's still pretty darn good, too, despite the retirement.
And everyone knows it's going to him at all times.
Hunter, are you going to agree with us? Are you on the Chiefs or you like the Bills this weekend?
I'm on the Chiefs, and I feel like I'm one of the few people that's actually rooting for the Chiefs.
You and me both, brother.
Yeah, it's one for the history, but two, like, I've talked about this before, and I know the comment section, they're going to hate on me for this too.
Here we go.
Having my wife be this into football and asking genuine questions and having genuine football conversations with her has been incredible. And I want that to keep going. So as long as the Chiefs stuff is going, I want it to keep happening. So I've got to cheer for the Chiefs.
Question. My hand is raised. You can't see it on the video stream. The Cowboys suck. Have you thought about maybe switching your fandom?
No. I've talked about this before, but the pastor that married Sarah and I, he talked about two things for me as a husband. One of them was
loyalty.
Well, so yes, it was loyalty and how I stick with the Cowboys even through all of it. So that was literally in my wedding vows was the Cowboys. So I kind of have to stick with them.
You're screwed, bro.
Yeah.
That's bad juju to try and change your allegiance now.
Yep.
Can't do that.
Kind
of says some things about how I view our marriage then if I were to do that. So.
By the way, if we get Bills Commanders for the Super Bowl, we're just a bunch of idiots. But we think it's Chiefs Eagles, which is the betting favorite. Yeah. So we will see what happens on Sunday. Looking forward to a good football weekend, good college basketball on tonight and tomorrow as well.
I honestly think, and it's not the point spread. Don't tell us this, but I honestly think the Commanders have the better chance to win
than the Bills
this weekend. Yes, I think the Jalen Hurts stuff with that knee. I mean, he basically became a statue for the second half of that game. And if that gets worse, if that gets tweaked, we all know what's happening. Saquon Barkley, he's very hard to stop. He's as good as anybody in the NFL at football right now.
Yeah,
but
it's a good way to put it.
If something miraculous happens and they struggle, they turn the ball over, and they're not able to just simply run it over and over and over and over and over again, I think that's a big problem.
I'm with you.
And that's how that would happen. I think that's pretty much the Commanders' only path to victory. But no one knows what that knee is like for Hurts right now. When asked if he's going to be okay for next week, he said, "I completed the game." Which, you can at least lie there.
Yeah, not the strongest indication of where things are at. That's for sure.
That to me is concerning, and like not putting anything out there, but if they lose Barkley, they're as good as kiss it goodbye.
Correct.
With the amount of carries and usage he's had, it's unlikely to happen. He is a ball of muscle and like extreme athleticism, but
he's scary.
Somebody could fall on the back of his leg and hurt him. Like that's easily something that could happen here.
Let's hope not.
I would be very upset by it.
But you don't think because they were talking about it on the broadcast with how great that O-line is for the Eagles that they couldn't just muscle their way through a game with having, because like he's had some giant holes. Obviously, he's taken those giant holes and then made three linebackers right. miss and get a 60-yard plus touchdown run. But like Kenneth Gainwell, I think is still a good enough running back that with that O line, I think they could do enough. It'd be the most disgusting game in the world and turn it into an old Big Ten West game.
I know.
I'm just saying that. Like, I still think that they're good enough.
I'm trying to find an apt comparison of Saquon Barkley to Kenneth Gainwell. That's like Josh Jacobs to
Russell Wilson to Graham Mertz.
Brandon Jackson. Alex Green.
Modern day Brandon Jacobs.
Brandon Jackson.
Oh, the former Super Bowl champion you're referring
yes.
to? I mean, he was a pretty good back.
I mean.
He was.
Josh Jacobs to Alex Green from Hawaii.
That's better. Hey, friend of show Alex Green, actually.
Wow.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Follows me on Instagram.
Wish him well.
Good guy. Good guy.
He probably just follows 800 Alexes.
Yeah, you might just really like his first name. You're right. Wow, he's a fan of the show.
Which reminds me, once I got added to a group of every single person on Facebook named Josh DiMaggio once.
How many are there?
There was like 40 of them, which blew my mind, to be quite frank.
I actually found out yesterday, this is not my What We Learned. You learn something new every day. We learned something new today. It's time now to get into What We Learned, but this is not my What We Learned. UW Eau Claire Track and Field, a guy by the name of Adam Strofe, just won WIAC Student Athlete of the Week. Happy for him. Congrats, Adam. No relation. Don't know who he is. But happy for him regardless. Okay, time now for What We Learned. Josh, you do have anything today? You never tell me.
I don't currently, but I could probably come up with something by the time you're done.
You don't need to. Hunter, what you got?
We're going to go back to Ben Johnson's press conference. And I learned that I need to actually like pay attention to the press conferences for teams in the Packers division. Because I think I kind of owe him an apology. From watching this video, like, I think he actually knows what he's doing. I've got the clip right here.
I don't
here.
Know where this is going. Okay.
Where I see my role is as a supporter of him. This offense will be calibrated with him in mind. We're going to build this thing. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope. We're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next.
We celebrated Matt LaFleur for doing this when Malik Willis came in for a couple of weeks, and to have your new head coach come in and say, hey, we've got this quarterback, we have to build the offense around him and what he does well.
Sure.
I just, for the level of hate that he got in Wisconsin, I think he actually, when it comes to the X's and O's off of that, like, I think this team is going to be better spot. So I'm just saying
I agree with that.
I think he got a little bit too much hate.
Okay, that I'd fully disagree with, number one. Number two, I would have said the same thing if I got hired as their head coach. Yeah. Right? He's the number one overall pick.
There's plenty
of ripping this thing down to the studs.
But there are plenty of head coaches who are like, yeah, we're going to run our system, and that's going to be our system. And they're like, you've got to figure out this offense.
I feel like part of his being hired was those comments.
Bingo.
And also, like, Ben Johnson is a great offensive football mind. Like,
yes.
Obviously, that's going to happen. I mean, I understand. He's a smart guy. I thought he came off as dopey and like a little bit of a dork. Also, his favorite band's Vance Joy.
Why do you know that?
Will Beck here saw it somewhere and told
Running
me about it.
Running down to the Riptide. Yeah, I thought that was a person. That's a band?
That drops him half a win a year.
Yeah, I'm actually with you on that. at least. That's the
Wait,
only song I know about
Vance
Joy.
Do we even know what like Matt LaFleur's favorite band is? Because like
I don't, but I imagine somebody does.
Yeah,
Matt LaFleur's favorite band. Does Google have anything? There isn't much information about Matt LaFleur's favorite band. Okay, well,
see, Heady Play not letting that out there. Because if it's not like Metallica as a football coach, you're not allowed to have a favorite band.
Well, every year I love this from CBS Sports. They put out all 68 head coaches in the NCAA tournament's favorite artist. So many Jimmy Buffetts, dude. There's so many Jimmy Buffetts.
I imagine there's many Bruce Springsteens.
Bruce Springsteens, yeah. I forget what Guards is, but it's somebody where it's like, okay, that makes sense. It's like Luke Combs or something.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right, here's what I learned is you can kick a Green Bay native when he's down. So Bobby Slowick, who is the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans, born and raised in Green Bay. Obviously, his dad was the defensive coordinator, Bob Slowick, of the Packers back in 2004, worked for the staff for several years, was fired today as the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans, a Green Bay Southwest High School alum, just like our good friend John Anderson. Adam Schefter accidentally kicking Bobby Slowick when he's down. Here's his tweet to announce his firing. A Houston shakeup. Booby Slowick is out as Texans offensive coordinator. Booby Slowick. Now, when you talk to Shefty next week, Joshy, I have a request. Can you ask him if this was an autocorrect or was he just typing too fast? Because that, I mean, I imagine it would autocorrect to Bobby if he wrote Booby. But that means he's typed Booby before, which no disrespect. We all got to do what we got to do. But Booby Slowick? I mean, not a great thing to be called as your ass is on its way out the door, right? Not only did you get fired today, you got called a booby by the best NFL insider in the country.
Unless you're Booby Miles, nobody wants that. if I were to guess, and I've gotten to know Adam Schefter, humble brag, a little bit.
Cool.
He doesn't use the word booby, he used breasts.
Why do you know that?
That's just based off of the guy that I see on TV and talk to once a week, sometimes multiple times a week. He uses breasts. He has to. I don't know that for sure, but that's me. That's me reading the tea leaves.
Back with you Monday, beginning at 12:30. ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and of course, Mr. Irrelevant, available wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand. Make sure you press subscribe. Rate us 5 or 4. You can rate us 4 stars, actually. Rather than starting a rate us 5 stars campaign, let's start a rate us 4 stars campaign. And then hopefully we can earn that 5th star over the time you listen to us. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We're back with you Monday beginning at 12:30. Reacting to championship weekend, talking a little Packers, and whatever else happens in the next 48 hours. Looking forward to it. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Have fun. Do what you got to do. We'll talk to you Monday. Breasts. Bye.